Then he began to denounce the cities where most of his mighty works had been done because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And for you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I tell you that it will be more tolerable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom than for you. This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, I look at our country today, and I can't help but think that we would hear, woe to you, America. God, I pray that this word will penetrate our hearts today. I pray that as TJ pours forth, proclaiming your word, God, that your spirit will move in the hearts of those that are here today, that they may heed the woe that you are calling us to. Repent and turn to you, that they will exalt you with their lives, that I will exalt you with my life, and that my passion for your word and for your mission to seek and save the lost would grow leaps and bounds. May your word do the work, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
You may be seated. Decisions, decisions, decisions. Life is full of decisions. Every day that we wake up, we're faced with tons of decisions. In fact, there's a study that shows that the average adult makes about 30,000 decisions a day. Some are so small that we don't even recognize we're doing it. It's just something we do, but they're decisions. Some are very small, very minuscule decisions. Some things that don't even matter. Something like what you're going to wear that day. You wake up and try to choose your clothes. Very small decision, unless you're like Rebecca, and then it's the most complex decision you're making all day. We make tons and tons of decisions, from small to great, some bringing life-changing moments. We have some decisions that are pretty big, like how we react to certain situations. Often, folks, how people react to these challenging and difficult situations shows just who they truly are on the inside. To see how people make decisions and react to these situations shows just who they are. You can wear as many masks as you want to as you go from place to place and day to day, but when something arises and you have to make a decision, you react in certain ways, it shows you to the core. And there is one reaction, there is one decision that will boast above any and all other reactions and decisions. And with this life full of decisions and all these things that can be so minuscule sometimes, there's only one that carries any eternal weight. In Matthew 11, 20 through 24, Jesus confronts cities that had every opportunity to react to his miraculous works, but yet they chose not to repent. They decided to reject what Jesus was revealing to them. And their indifference wasn't a neutral stance. It was a decision to reject God's grace. This passage today challenges us to examine our response and our reaction to God's revelation. Do you wake up every morning and intentionally seek ways to glorify God, to make Him known? Or are you hesitating, ignoring the call to reaction of His revelation in your life? Today, I want to look at four truths from this passage that highlight the gravity of our decisions to react to God's call. And each truth points to the importance of living with determination. To react to God's grace, to embrace repentance, to live faithfully to his lordship. You see, in this passage, Jesus rebukes the cities of Chorazin and Bethsaida and Capernaum. He says, woe to you. That woe to you carries a deep meaning of judgment, of condemnation. He rebukes them. You see, these places witnessed his miracles, his powerful demonstrations of his divine authority. And yet, though he went there and showed them who he is, they failed to repent. They failed to react. And you see, God's revelation always demands a reaction. John 3, 19 through 20 illustrates this truth. It says, and this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and the people loved the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works would be exposed. See, God reveals himself. He shines a light into a place and reveals himself, but God's light doesn't just reveal his glory, it exposes our sin. It calls us to choose between repentance and rebellion. God's revelation demands a reaction from us. It's so easy to let sin creep into our lives and take root. Before long, we start making decisions based on sin instead of God's word and works. We make decisions based on our feelings instead of God's truth, biblical truth. And in that, our reaction is no different than the cities that Jesus said to, woe to you. In our decision to reject God's grace and reject God's work and words and make decisions based on our own feelings and desires, Jesus can look at us and say, woe to you. These cities, they've seen his miracles. They've seen his works. They've seen the divine revelation. They've heard the teaching. And yet they still decide to let sin, the darkness, be their dwelling place. For us today, God's revelation comes from his word. It comes through the Holy Spirit. It comes from the work in our own lives. It even comes through his people being obedient and sharing the gospel with others. Every prayer, every conviction of sin, every moment of clarity about his truth is an opportunity to respond and react to God. Ignoring these moments is a decision in and of itself, a decision to remain unchanged, a decision to not grow in your faith. We must respond to God's work in our lives by stepping into that light that he calls us into, aligning our heart with the truth and choosing obedience into what he's called us to do. What does that look like for you, church? What would it look like for you to live a life more aligned with God's word? What needs to change in your life? What transformation needs to happen within you today, so that your reaction to what God has done in your life and what he's calling you to glorifies him instead of muddying the name of Jesus with a hypocritical lifestyle? We have to take this seriously. When we see God's revelation in our life, when he reveals himself and brings this light to our life, we have to take it seriously and do something about it. We have to react because God's revelation brings responsibility. As God reveals himself to us, we then have a responsibility given to us. And Jesus goes on to say in this passage that it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for Tyre and Sidon and Sodom than for the unrepentant cities that were listed. And why? Because these cities, though they were wicked, They didn't receive the same revelation that Chorazin and Bethsaida and Capernaum did. This greater revelation to those cities brought greater responsibility. Luke 12, 48 underscores this principle. Everyone to whom much was given, of him much will be required. And similarly in James 4, 17. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. when we receive God's truth and He reveals Himself to us, when we understand what salvation is, when we understand who Jesus is, when He shows us, He pulls the scales off of our eyes and allows us to see it and understand it, we're not then to just meant to absorb it. We're called to live it out, to react to what He's done in our lives. We live in a time of unparalleled access to God's Word and spiritual resources. He gives us everything that we need. He's brought translators along so that we could have different translations of it. He's brought people along that will write it different ways so that people that have a hard time understanding one version may understand another version. He's raised up people that write commentaries on the Bible so that we may understand it in a deeper way. He's given us so much access to His Word. Many of us sitting in this church have been blessed with the teachings of the truth, with the fellowship of His people, and blessed with firsthand experiences of God's goodness. And the question is, what are we doing with these blessings? How are we being responsible with these blessings? What are you doing with the revelation that's been made to you? Are you using them to grow in faith and obedience? Or are you taking them for granted, like the cities that Jesus condemned and judged right here? I want you to think about what it means to be a good steward of the gifts that's been given to you. I know when we talk about stewardship, it often falls in line with monetary stuff, with financials and all this stuff, being a good steward with our money and sometimes a good steward with the things that God gives us, but being a good steward of the gifts that He gives you, the blessings that He's given you, whether by sharing the gospel, serving others, growing deeper in our walk with Him, how are we handling the responsibility that God has given us as He's revealed Himself to us? Maybe your responsibility this morning is confessing your sins to a brother or sister in Christ for accountability. That's something that we're held responsible to. Maybe your responsibility is having a difficult conversation with a brother or sister who's living in sin, and you want to see them grow in Christ and out of that sin, because we're held to that responsibility as well. To call out sin where we see it, to say something about it in a loving way so that others may grow from it and in Christ. We want to see people grow. We want to see ourselves grow. We need to respond and react to God's revelation and be responsible with those gifts, because we know that living in sin has consequences. Consequences that we'll have to answer for. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Confessing is part of the responsibility. Christians ought to be ready to acknowledge and are responsible for acknowledging by means of confession any sin that the light reveals to them. When we're living or walking in a sinful way and God shows us that, it's not time for us to kind of cover it up or to hide it or act like it never happened, but to acknowledge it and to repent of that sin. We live out these responsibilities to glorify God and so that others can know Christ, so that we are obedient vessels and that Christ may be revealed to those that are outside of the faith. We must handle these blessings and the revelation responsibly. We do that because we know that a judgment day is coming. We understand that judgment is real and is based on our reactions. Jesus' warning in this passage is sobering. These cities where Jesus revealed Himself to, He taught the people of, and one of them He grew up in, and yet He looks at them and says, woe to you. Judgment is falling upon you, as He's saying, though you were with me and I was with you in different places in these cities, you still rejected me. This passage is sobering because He declares that the day of judgment will reveal the consequences of rejecting God's revelation. Hebrews 9:27 reinforces this reality. It is appointed for a man to die once, and after that comes judgment. We see it again similarly in 2 Corinthians 5:10, where it says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil." There is a judgment day coming, and it's not an arbitrary act. It is a righteous evaluation of our life. God judges us based on how we respond to what we know and what's been revealed to us. How we react to that revelation. These cities that rejected Jesus' miracle had no excuse, and neither do we. There's no excuse for us to reject and ignore God's call or live in disobedience towards Him. The reality of judgment should motivate us to live with an eternal perspective. So what decisions are you making today that align or maybe even misalign with God's will? Are you prioritizing the temporary comforts of this world over eternal treasures? Church, I want you to live with a determination to honor God with every aspect of your life. Each day when you wake up, making the decisions to glorify Him, making a decision to humbly put yourself below others so that they may be served with the love of Christ through you. Knowing that one day we are going to stand before Him and face that judgment. And understand that it's not to be concentrated to just ourselves. It's our neighbors, our co-workers, our friends, our family members. They all will face this judgment. Church, are we living a life so aligned with God's truth that wherever we may be, our workplaces, our schools, our friend groups, that they see and understand that judgment is a real thing and that they must react to Jesus Christ. That they must react to what He's done for us. Are you helping people around you see the need to react in repentance? Because repentance is central to the gospel. At the heart of Jesus' rebuke in this passage, where He's calling out these cities, to where He's showing judgment, woe to you, where He's showing condemnation, it's not Him just beating them up. There is a call to repentance in the midst of it. See, His miracles wasn't just displays of power. They were invitations to turn from sin and to follow Him, to turn from the world and their selfish desires and to Christ. Luke 13:3 echoes this call. Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And we see it again in Acts 3:19. Repent, therefore, and turn back that your sins may be blotted out. And understand this, that the repentance part of this isn't just an acknowledgement of wrongdoing. This is where some of the decision processes start taking place again. It's a decisive, determined change of direction. It's where God reveals something to you in your life that doesn't align with the truth of His word, and you hit your knees and you proclaim to God how sorrowful you are of that, how it breaks your heart that you broke His heart, and that you want to turn from it and turn to Him and live your life for Him. Are you ready to make that decision to react to Jesus in that way, in the manner of repentance? You see, for Christians, it's a daily act of surrender. Repentance is a daily act of surrender. It's recognizing where we've fallen short and turning to God for forgiveness and guidance, because true repentance leads to transformation. When God reveals Himself, when God reveals and shows us clearly His truth from His word, and we see where our lives aren't aligned with it, when we find that true repentance, we see that's where God changes us from the inside out. Transforms us into who He's calling us to be. It's the evidence of a heart fully yielded to God. Church, I want to challenge you to truly seek out your day-to-day life right now in this moment. Are there areas in your life where you need to repent? Are there areas in your life to where you're living, things that you're doing that you know do not align with the Word of God? Maybe it's the way you act or talk or carry yourself at work or at school or around your friends when you go out golfing. Maybe it's the way you let people just arouse your anger. You're not able to show love like you're supposed to those who need it most. Maybe you're dealing with selfish motives and selfish desires, trying to fill some hole with all these worldly things, and yet God needs to be in that place in the center of it all. You keep pushing Him out, trying to fill it with other things. Don't let Satan grab that little foothold within you, because he will take you farther and farther and farther than you want to be down a road of sin. God's grace is abundant, but it requires a response, a reaction. So let's be determined to live our lives in a posture of humility, regularly seeking His forgiveness and walking in the newness of life that we've been raised to. God has revealed Himself to us. Some of us have responded to that revelation to say, I want to follow Jesus all the days of my life. And some sitting in here may have not responded or reacted that way yet. You don't want to be like one of the cities that were called out, where Jesus revealed Himself to them, showed His divine power and authority, and they still rejected Him. And He cries out, woe to you. For those who don't yet follow Jesus, know that His grace and mercy are for you too. That He died on that cross for anyone who would believe, so that you wouldn't perish, but that you would have eternal life. And that He's not revealing Himself today just to make you feel guilty and nasty of the sins that you are carrying around with you. But He's revealing Himself today not to condemn you, but that you may be saved through Him, as John 3:17 would remind us. And if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, proving His victory over sin and death, that you too will be saved. And church, as we reflect on this passage, to where Jesus calls out cities that saw His revelation and shown that they will have a greater judgment than those who did not receive His revelation. The question is simple. How will you react to King Jesus and His revelation in your life? Like one of these cities that ignored it? Or like we're called to, and glorifying Him with the decisions that we make every single day? God's call is clear. His revelation demands a response. His truth brings responsibility. His judgment is certain, and His gospel hinges on repentance. Who can you help understand these truths today? Who in your workplace or schools needs to hear this week? Don't ignore the evidence of God's work in your life. React fully to God's work in your life. React with repentance and obedience, because judgment is certain. Who takes God's grace for granted? And to whom much is given, much is required. Let us live determined to react to God's grace, embrace that repentance, and to honor Him with every decision that we make. I asked you a few minutes ago to truly seek out in your life the areas that you may be struggling with. I know personally in my life, there's some things in my life that don't glorify God that I got to get right. In a moment, we're going to have a time of prayer to where you can hit your knees right where you are, come to an altar and pray. I want you to take that time to align with God's word and be obedient to the calling. Not be like these cities, but to react to God revealed in your life. Today is the day of decision, church. How will you react to this revelation? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you are a good, good Father. You know us. You know everything about us. You know our sinful ways, our deceitfulness, our mess-ups, our mishaps, our anger, lustfulness. God, you know it all, and yet you still love us. You still sent your Son for us. He still died on a cross for us so that we may not have to face an eternal punishment, but have everlasting life. God, you have revealed that to me. You have revealed that to many in this church. God, let us react to it. With the joy of our salvation, maybe we be excited to live out a life that's worthy of the calling that you placed on our lives, to be the disciples that you have called us to be, Father God, that we will go to everywhere we live, work, play, and learn, Father God, to share the gospel, to serve others, to let others see the love of Jesus Christ, the hope in which he brings in our own lives, so that they may know him and call upon his name too. Father, let us continuously, every day, decide to be obedient to your calling and to your words, to your truth, Father. Not rejecting it, not ignoring it, but fully living out everything that's required to glorify your mighty name. It's in Christ's name that I pray. Amen.